This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Tim Hasselbeck going to join us live in our Thursday 9 o'clock slot to get us ready for primetime on Saturday night in Raleigh. NC State off the disappointing loss at Miami by a singular point. Louisville coming off a bye week, two-touchdown winner against Boston College. Tim, thanks for the time as always. This one feels interesting. Like Pack and I have said, there are two or three games on the ledger this week. I would throw NC State Louisville in the same boat with Miami, Pittsburgh, and FSU Clemson, and maybe even BC Syracuse. Is you think you know, but do you really know?
Well, I think it's a great point because you look at some of Louisville's losses, you know, whether it's a Wake Forest team that we now know is really talented. I think there's elements of, that where you go, okay, or, Virginia, when, really have a kick that they probably should make, or Ole Miss, the top 10 program right now. And so, I think there's elements when you look at Louisville where you say, all right, well, maybe they're a little better than we thought they were after, week one when, Ole Miss kind of, gets after them a little bit. Or, with NC State, like, it's been amazing, at times, and you say, this is a really good football team, and they're balanced, they do a lot of things well. But you're right, like, last week was super disappointing. So I'm sure there are factors to it. You lose your heartbeat on defense during that football game after already losing Peyton Wilson earlier in the season, and I think that has an impact. And, kind of an odd call that goes against you, on a loose ball. But, all that to say, I do think they're two pretty good football teams and, plenty of good football players that'll be playing in the game. And I think it'll be a good one. I think I've called this will be my third time calling this matchup. And I feel like every time it's been pretty good.
NC State's won seven consecutive at home. So they love Carter Finley.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, to me, the fascinating thing about the Wolfpack moving forward, especially after what happened to him last weekend in Miami, is handling the fact that they're in the hunt. They're now a game behind Wake, so they've got to stay within arm's distance because they're going to get a chance to see the Deacs face to face. You can't fall two back. And I got to assume that Wake Forest is going to take care of business against Duke. And then all of a sudden, bam, primetime game Saturday night. You kind of know where you stand. You got to kind of hold serve here at home where they've been really good. But Louisville, as you pointed out, really talented, really balanced. NC State's going to be intriguing at the linebacker position. Malik Cunningham's a magician. A lot of pressure on NC State to hold serve getting into November.
Look, I agree. And, one of the things that has definitely struck me during my time of calling games in the ACC is I have been really impressed in general over the talent that comes out of the state of North Carolina. And what's interesting about that is that there are good high school football players that want to play in the ACC from the state. And there are a lot of schools to choose from. And there's a lot of competition for many of the same kids. And so, I think when you look at it and you talk about, what is setting up, in terms of next week, I think you're right about that. And, it's no different than, talking to Dave Dorn after North Carolina State beats Clemson. It's like, a lot of what we have told guys was proved to be true. And then you think about the success of putting, kids from NC State into the NFL, I think it was like, yeah, we can sell that. Well, I think probably in a similar fashion, next week when you think about, look, if Wake is 8-0 at that point, and what Dave Clawson is doing and what it means when you recruit in the state and you recruit against, a lot of other schools in the conference, in the state. Yeah, it's important on so many different levels. And I think guys really feel that. I think they do.
Tim, I want to take one of the biggest recruits in the state of North Carolina, ironically, in the last few years, was Bam Knight, who ultimately went to NC State. You're talking about a guy who, in some ways, I think maybe plays a big role Saturday night, because if NC State can run the ball, they keep it away from Louisville and the fast-tempo stuff that Satterfield wants to run, don't they?
Yeah, I think so. And truthfully, when NC State is running the football, everything is working, because, you know, I feel like it allows them to get into a rhythm where, you know, they are using tempo, whether that's, you know, getting up and looking like you're going to snap it so Tim Beck can take a look at what you're doing defensively and get into the right call, whether it's moving fast and it's just like, man, you're getting a mouthful of that run game. And then, look, Devin Leary, he's on 17 touchdowns and two picks. Like, he's having a great season. And I think that probably because we're focused so much on Kenny Pickett, and rightfully so, and shoot, I think Brennan Armstrong, you know, deserves a lot of love. Like, are you kidding me? 17 touchdowns and two picks? Like, mm-hmm. You know, without the attention, that's remarkable. That is an outstanding season so far. So, like, yeah, when you're running the football and you have a quarterback that's making good decisions, then yeah, you end up being really, really hard to stop. And, look, I remember meeting with Coach Satterfield a couple years ago, and I think the feeling was, look, there's going to be some growing pains defensively because of what that roster looked like when they took over, in terms of, look, they just didn't have a bunch of guys on defense that, you know, that was necessarily a huge priority from the previous coaching staff. And so that does take some time. And I think that we've just seen some of that over the past couple of years.
Tim, I think it's funny that you bring up Devin, because he's obviously, the numbers don't lie. We had Coach Satterfield on the show yesterday, and I said to him, I think Malik Cunningham is the most underrated quarterback in the country. And now listen, we've got some headliners in this league. You mentioned Pickett. You mentioned Brennan Armstrong. We know about Sam Howell. Sam Hartman's been fantastic at Wake. You mentioned Leary's number. Man, Malik Cunningham, hey, want to throw it? He can do it. Want to run? He can score. This guy is a nightmare for every defensive coordinator in the league.
I agree with that. I think there are times – look, there are times where he is a passer. I watch him and I'm like, man, this guy is seeing it. He's rolling. He's – if you have a guy that can run like this, that is this efficient passing the football, there's a lot to be excited about. But then I think there are also times where – just off a little bit as a passer. And, you know, I would consider him a streaky passer because, like, he's accurate and he also can make all of the throws. And I think there are times where as a passer, for whatever reason, he just isn't seeing it as well as he sees it on other days. All that to say, and I feel like this is how I felt a little bit about Kyler Murray, just even like last year as a pro. Like, you look at Kyler Murray, and if you were to just hold up his passing statistics, you'd be like, you know what? Like, it's pretty good. Like, it's good. There's no doubt about it. But then you're like, oh, by the way, he rushed for 11 touchdowns last year and 800 yards. It's like, oh, okay. Well, like, you got to factor that in. And, look, I think you'd say the same thing for Malik. You think about it. He's rushed for nearly 500 yards this season already, and 13 touchdowns. So you're like, oh, wait a second. Like, the offensive production that is running through him, regardless if the passing numbers aren't great each and every, you know, Saturday, I think that's like, there's still this other element that, I mean, just, it's not like you have to consider it. It's like when defensive coordinators start their plan, it's like, oh my gosh, like the design runs with the quarterback. The off-schedule runs with the quarterback is just a nightmare to try to deal with.
We look at this ball game and we look at NC State's spot in the road as much as we look at anybody else's, given that they've still got Wake Forest to play. Is there somebody in this glob that Packer and I often talk about in basketball that now has shown up in football of 3-4 and 4-3 teams that you've seen that you say, hey, you know what, look at kind of where they got left and who they are, and maybe they're playing better than their record and could be a factor down the stretch here?
Well, I said it earlier. I mean, look at Louisville's losses. You know, I mean, if you like, right? I mean, that's like it, if you just and listen. You got to do it, right? But we know Ole Miss is good, all right? So let's take that. We know Wake Forest is an undefeated team. So if you make a kick against Virginia, do we look at this differently? And oh, by the way, if you kind of hold on to things against Wake, like, would we be looking at a one-loss Louisville team? So, I don't know that I'm answering your question on it. Like, but I do, like, are there teams that you look at them and you say, okay, well, who are they? I'll give you another one. Like, I don't know if this is what you're looking at, but, like, Virginia. We had Virginia last week. Virginia, I mean, Georgia Tech has a chance to to tie, potentially win that football game, as crazy as it sounds. At the same time, I will say this, and then Dave O'Brien and I talked about this at the end of the game. You know, Kenny Pickett is getting a lot of Heisman love, and then I said it earlier, and rightfully so. Go look at Brennan Armstrong's numbers.
Right.
Look at what Brennan Armstrong has done. And what's interesting about that, and I think that, you know, Kenny's played a lot of football. I think people know that, you know, at some level there was going to be a pro future for him. And I know that he's talked about, okay, well, was he going to be a late-round pick? And Todd McShay's got him rated, you know, highly right now. Here's what's interesting about Brennan Armstrong. I don't know that anybody, including the coaches at Virginia, thought that he would pass the ball like this. And, you know, when you go back and look at his early starts last year, he was kind of running as the first talent type of player. But now he's doing it against everything, guys. He's doing it against blitz. He's doing it against drop eight coverage. He's doing it against fire zones. He's passing the ball well on third and longs, not just early downs. And Robert and I, their offensive coordinator, seems completely comfortable saying, like, look, if we don't have to call a run play, like, we're okay with that. Like, he can throw it 60 times, and we're not worried about it. He's been that good as a passer. And I think if he doesn't start to get some recognition, and they're heading into a hard stretch of their schedule, there's no doubt about it. But, I mean, that's been about as impressive, I think, as anything I've seen since I've been – you know, calling games in the ACC.
Tim, I'll give you something even more impressive, and you were a witness to it last week. You saw the greatest onside kick team in the history of college football. Georgia Tech is untouchable. They have mastered the onside kick. Nobody does it even remotely close to the Jackets.
Oh.
Well, listen, how about this? So I'm at the hotel after the game, and first, you're right about that, and I don't know if I haven't completely verified this yet, but I'm leaving, and a guy stops me, and he actually was one of the officials in the game. And he's like, hey, you may not remember. It turns out he was a teammate of my brother's in Green Bay. He was a linebacker that is now an official in the ACC, and he stops me, and we have a great conversation. We had played golf together at one point when he was a player, and I was visiting my brother in Green Bay, and he's like, hey, you know, did you know that Ryan Longwell is the kicking coach at Georgia Tech? Meaning Ryan Longwell, the former Packer and Viking kicker who had a phenomenal career. My brother is actually his older. I've actually been on vacation with him. I'm like, no, I had no idea, but now this makes sense that they were so good at onside kicks. Like, they got Ryan Longwell, this great former NFL kicker. There's the kicking coach. Like, no doubt. No wonder they've got it figured out.
I'd start the game with one if I was Collins. I would. Why not?
I mean, hey, why not?
Yeah.
They actually did it. In all seriousness, they did a great job managing the end of that game. They kick a field goal when you're maybe unsure if you should go for it, but you make it a two-score game. They kick deep and get a stop when they think that they're going to onside kick them, get a stop and score, and then they go for two, which I'm sure, you know, 5 years ago everyone would have been like, what are you doing? But the likelihood of you scoring twice is so out there that the percentages are you go for two. Now, they don't get it, but they get the onside kick, which you're, you know, referring to, which, by the way, is a little bit suspect in terms of if Malachi Carter had possession. But whatever, they're awarded
it. Whatever, and we're working. Yeah.
Yeah, we got – but, like, and look, that hill at Virginia was empty. Like, it was empty. And Dave and I are like, everyone's missing an amazing finish here.
Yeah. Final word here. Boston College plays Syracuse this week. Yesterday, we have this segment where we do best games in series history. And we ran a little Tim Hasselbeck keeper to beat the Orange. Just so you know. Wanted you to know we ran a little Hasselbeck video. Went back in
what
the archives.
You guys don't know is
found
what
it in standard definition, by the way. Standard definition.
Well, listen. The keeper, by the way, was a speed option.
Okay.
And clearly, the Orange were like, yeah, we're gonna cover the pitch, man. Okay. We don't want William Green getting his football. We're gonna let this guy that I was probably so banged up at that point that he got knee braces on and whatever. We're gonna let him run it. And when I was laying down in the end zone, I was like, please let me be in. Not because I wanted to score a touchdown, but because I was so tired that the thought of having to call a play in the huddle right then was like, I'm so out of breath. There's no shot that this can happen. Like, this needs to be a touchdown. Otherwise, we're just going to take a delay of game because I cannot breathe right now. I'm so tired.
Hence the word speed option.
Yeah, that's it. There we go. Everything you've always wanted to know about speed option. Unbelievable.
Right there, baby. You know, Darian Hagan, you know, guys like that.
Yeah.
You know, Jamal Holloway. Yeah.
Scream speed option. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Hey, Tim, thanks as always. Safe travels to Raleigh.
All right. See you, fellas.
Okay. Tim Hasselbeck every Thursday on Packer and Durham. Preview of the prime time. Always good conversation.
Good ball game.
Yeah. Really good ball
NC
game.
NC State.
Four of them.
Well, Peg, you put that Miami thing behind you, Isaiah Moore injury. You're still in the hunt. You still control your world. Just win out.
Yep.
Life is good.
When we come back, speaking of this weekend, four teams looking for their first road win. How about that? Four teams. Ja'Cory Roberson coming up in about 10 minutes as well on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
On a Thursday.
Coming up, updated weather forecast for the South Bend, Mishawaka, Goshen, and Michigan City areas.
I already told you. High 52, low 48. 100% chance of rain.
100? I thought it was 88.
It's changed since an hour ago.
Has it?
100% chance of rain.
We'll call Larry Sprinkle. Get him on the phone.
He has no idea. He has no idea what's
all
going
right.
on.
Four ACC teams looking for road wins. First ones.
I rattled through the four earlier today.
You did.
Miami, Virginia Tech, Duke, Carolina.
That's it. All right. Let's kind of look here. If it doesn't happen this weekend, when does it happen?
Apparently November.
Well, thanks.
Well, you asked.
I know. Let's start with Miami, since that's the one we've kind of been tinkering with here today. Pitt at Florida State at Duke. Knowles on November. How about that? We've moved that game back into the frame a little bit, haven't we? That game was typically like September, October, wasn't
it?
Well,
it doesn't matter when they play that game.
Oh, no kidding.
That's personal,
that
particular weekend. I'm going to predict that Miami will get a road win this year.
Okay.
I just don't know if it'll be tomorrow, or excuse me, on Saturday.
Right.
But they could. Now, it's not going to stun me if Miami wins the game at Pittsburgh.
Right.
It won't.
Okay.
But I do think they'll win at Duke, one way or the other. The Florida State game's a fist fight. That's a pull out a quarter, flip it, whoever you like, get it all
Somebody
over.
Somebody gets stood on their head that game.
Yeah, guarantee you.
Oh, Jafari.
Canes, though, got to have some momentum at that win against NC State. That was such a huge win.
I'm with you on all that. I think you're right. I'm interested to see how they process NC State, because this is really the first time we can say, okay, Miami, you did X. How does it equate to Y?
And Pitt, too. I mean, Pitt got over – Pitt won the game.
Yeah, last time they did, they lost the next one.
Well, I understand it. But Pitt won the game against Clemson where, hey, everybody's watching. Everybody's keeping score. Can he pick it with the Heisman? Our race to get to the Coastal. It's still Clemson, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
And they took care of business.
There you go.
So, you know, are they high-fiving all week? As Pat said this week in his press conference, hey, we have a mature team. We'll handle it. Mm. Well, now you get a chance to prove it. I mean, they're 17th in the country now. It's a little different for Pittsburgh today than it was 2 weeks ago. And for Miami, you got the win. Man, you finally got that Power 5 W that had just, for whatever reason, you can put your arms around it. And I thought Miami really played well last week. That's the other thing, Wes.
Duke is on the road at Wake Forest. The Blue Devils then have at Virginia Tech. That's it. It's either Saturday in Winston-Salem or November 13th in Blacksburg.
Well, I will say this. The way things are going, if you're looking for a win away from home, Lane Stadium might be the first place you pick, because the Hokies can't win at home. Go figure that one out.
Yeah.
It's going to be uphill for Duke, though, in my opinion.
Unfortunately for the Blue Devils, the problem on the road has been allowing an average of 39 points in those three games.
No, well, I get you beat every week. And they've proven it.
Yeah. 48-0 at Virginia 2 weeks ago. Duke off a bye against Wake Forest. By the way, Blue Devils lead the series. Do you know last year when they did not play because of the COVID was the first time in 100 years that series had been interrupted?
Right. Well, Wes.
Yeah.
Yeah. After Wake put 70 in 17 minutes,
mm-hmm.
Duke better get their tackling shoes on. Just going to tell you, because the Deeks are going to score. The Deeks are going to score.
And Wake's probably a little more buckled up on defense this week, wouldn't you think?
I would hope so.
Although, I'm going to tell you, your theory of Mateo Durant 40-plus times.
I'd give it to him 40 times.
Till they
finally figured it out.
Okay.
See, Mr. Durant, today, you want to be running back in this league?
Yeah.
You're going to earn it today. We're going to give it to you 40 times against Wake Forest.
Speaking of Lane Stadium, Virginia Tech's looking for their first road win. And they're in Atlanta Saturday.
It may be a blessing in disguise that they're away from Blacksburg.
Dax Holifield led me to believe there's been a little soul searching going on in Blacksburg this week.
Tough week, man. Three straight L's.
The last two?
Well, how about the last three? They've gone LLL at Lane Stadium. You let Notre Dame and Syracuse get away from you late at home.
Quick turnaround, by the way, for next Thursday night.
There's nothing easy about this for the Hokies. Just telling you.
Next Thursday night?
I mean, there's nothing easy.
Right.
Just telling you. I mean, the Virginia game is going to be a fist fight. You know it. At Miami late.
Mm-hmm.
You know that deal. I mean, who would have ever thought after they beat North Carolina in week one that we'd be having this kind of conversation about Virginia Tech late October? I didn't expect it.
In Atlanta, you see the trip to BC. There it is.
And by the way, the Jackets haven't beaten Georgia. The Jackets have not beaten Virginia Tech at home since 2017. So it's not like that's been easy. I mean, they've quite frankly been terrible against Virginia Tech at home.
That's it.
3-6, I believe.
Last on this list before we get to Ja'Cory Roberson coming up is Carolina. It's one of those head scratchers, isn't it? Hadn't won a game on the road. They have lost their only road game, really, is at Virginia Tech. Crazy. Only four road games this year for Carolina.
The schedule was laid out to perfection. The hype was fantastic. The problem is they just haven't delivered.
Yeah.
Now, could they change the perception with
a
W on Saturday?
Six in a row at home.
I get that. But, I mean, really, the only way you get the taste out of your mouth is to upset somebody with a number.
Right.
And that NC State game at the end of the year is really beginning to loom as something large as far as maybe you going to a bowl or NC State going to Charlotte. We'll see.
No kidding.
There's a chance.
Yep. By the way, the Tar Heel, let me be the first to remind you that next Saturday's game in Chapel Hill is a non-conference game.
About Wake Forest.
Yes.
The Swiss come to
Chapel Hill. Yes. I can't wait for the clarity to be established on this next week. It was a great idea. For Ron Wellman and Bubba Cunningham, it was a great idea. We talked about it. I loved it. I thought it was great. Still think it's good. But daggone.
I think if schools don't see each other in the league, why not schedule a non-conference game? I like the idea.
Carolina. Notre Dame at Pitt on a Thursday. 5-day turnaround after Wake Forest next week.
Not playing.
At NC State Thursday after Thanksgiving, or Friday after Thanksgiving, looms. You said it. Huge.
I said it a month ago.
I know. We did. We talked about that a month ago.
Remember, I said, hey, mark the tape. It would not shock me because I thought that the winner, either way, could go to the ACC championship game
That's
at the time.
Right. North Carolina went scripting it a little
bit. But starting to loom large as far as your bowl season is concerned, and I would have never thought that regarding North Carolina before the season. Ever.
Makes two of us. All right, those are teams looking for road wins. When we come back, a guy who's looking for the football, and he gets it. Ja'Cory Roberson joins us next from Winston-Salem. He and A.T. Perry, Taylor Morin, Blake Whitehart, Keyshawn Williams. Sam Hartman throws it and five catches it. Next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Thursday. Again tomorrow, a little different setup. Outdoor amongst them in the elements of South Bend, Indiana, as we prepare you for not only a football weekend, a big soccer weekend, and the cross-country championships tomorrow from South Bend, Indiana.
Hat tip to our friend Colt Nost, who hosts the Subpar podcast, by the way, who gets amongst them. That's what they're all out amongst them.
I don't know anything about that.
That's funny, though. That's good. Drew knows. He listens.
I'm not a podcast guy.
I know you're not. It's been documented in a podcast.
I'm busy actually doing a radio show.
I know. That's it. Well, and successful. So there you go. All right. Ja'Cory Roberson. We visited with him yesterday after the Deacons finished up their practice. Great conversation. He'd been with us before a year ago. But now we got a guy who's top four in four principal receiving categories that we're going to get a chance to visit with. And I don't know what his expectations were before the season started, but I'm going to guess when you're top five in the four principal categories, that's a pretty good start, isn't it?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I kind of – my goals were high, you know, coming in the season. You know, I may not be where I want to be, but I'm doing enough to help my team win, and I think that's what's most important. So, you know, we've been having success on the offense. You know, I'm going to keep, you know, keep doing what I need to do to, you know, put points on the board for our offense and just keep having fun out there with the guys.
So, Corey, I know that practice just ended. Man, if I'm Dave Clawson, I'm telling you guys, man, get off your feet. You just scored 70, for crying out loud. I know Red got a pick six, so it's really only 9 offensive touchdowns. But, man, you guys only had the ball for 17 minutes. I'd tell you boys, hey, 63 is plenty. Get off your feet and enjoy yourself a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, we took a few reps off, you know, but you know, we out here, man. We want some more, you know. We want to get after it a little bit more, you know. Try to put 60 up on Duke. You know, we just keep working hard, keep striving for the best, you know. But it's exciting to be out here. Exciting, to definitely put 63 points on the board. You know, I think we'll only get better from here, though.
So, Corey, you know, there's certain teams in the league that are looking for identity and confidence. It's the exact opposite with you guys. You know, every time I watch you play, I get the sensation as a fan, you know what, you guys think you're going to score every single time you touch the football. Is that accurate?
Yeah, certainly. You know, we're just so confident in each other, so confident in our coaches, you know. They always – pushing us to you know, in practice to be really, 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 really good. And, you know, because they always know that it'll overcome, you know, during the game. So in practice, you know, we're always going really, really hard, man. And I think that really turns over to, you know, game time. So, and, you know, it's just fun, you know, that you can have guys by your side that you have confidence in and you can trust in. And, you know, your belly's going to do their job. So it's exciting to, you know, be 7-0 right now and just have those guys on both sides of the ball, you know, that you're confident in.
What is the secret sauce here? Is it the fact you've got a lot of older guys who have actually played? I mean, you know, technically by definition, you're a redshirt junior, but I know you've played a ton of football. You've got even guys younger than you that have played a ton of football. So what's the secret here for this football team? Is it just the experience?
I say, yeah, depth. You know, depth was the number one thing, you know, coming into the season that we really worked hard to, you know, get younger guys ready to make sure the next man's up. And I think that's just really important. You know, in previous years, we didn't have that. And this year, you know, we got ones and twos. I mean, we got twos and threes, you know, that can step up and play. You know, everyone could be confident in and trusting in them. And I guess the other thing is, you know, just going really, really hard in practice, man. It really just, it pays off during the game, make it so much easier, you know, when you're in the film room, when you're out here preparing for practice, scout, whether that's wake. But, you know, just preparing like a starter, and everyone does that here.
Ja'Cory, the balance on this team, too, is really good. I mean, listen, Wake can beat you throwing it. They can beat you running it. You guys are a joy to watch play offensively and playing great complementary football. But what has made Sam Hartman even more difficult to defend? I mean, you see him every day in practice. What has he done this year that maybe he didn't quite have in his repertoire the last couple of years?
I think Sam does it. His leadership, you know, I think went to a different level this year. You know, he does a really good job, you know, getting guys up to the film room, making sure, you know, we understand, you know, where he wants to put balls or what he's comfortable doing. And I think, you know, we all have a good sense of we all work together in ways that, you know, what we're good at. And, you know, I think Sam does a good job of, you know, just leading us, man, and, you know, being confident in us and, you know, getting the ball to us. So, you know, it's special playing with him. You know, definitely our running backs. You know, everyone's just together, man, and we're just out here having fun.
You have got to be – when Donovan went down with the injury in the preseason, a lot of people were concerned. You know, Sage had moved on. Everybody understood that. You got to be proud of a guy like A.T. Perry and the way he's taken a bigger role on this side, and like guys like Keyshawn Williams, Ja'Cory. I mean, those are young guys that have really embraced the opportunity, it looks like.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, AT, man, he really stepped up for us. And, you know, I'm really proud of him. And I know he's going to end up having a great year for the rest of the year. But he's just been more engaged into our offense, you know, whether that's getting up there with Sam or, you know, getting up there with me. He's just been taking it really, really seriously this year. And for Keyshawn, no, younger guy, but he's always ready. Like, Every practice, he's going hard, asking me questions. I'm asking him questions. Like, we all work together, no matter if I'm the starter or he's not. But, you know, it's always just like a together thing. And I feel like when Key, whenever he gets his opportunity, he's ready to go out there and ball, like the first play against Army when he was out there, his first snap. But, you know, we're all here to work together. I mean, we're a team, and, you know, we're happy when one person scores a touchdown, just as happy as, you know, if you were to score one individually. So, you know, it's exciting to have a group like that, you know, you could depend on guys, and, you know, guys are happy for you. So it's a great experience.
Ja'Cory, you're 7-0. You're ranked 13th in the country. I know there's still football to be played. It starts with Duke this week. But does it feel like you're the hunted? I mean, does it feel like, hey, you know what? Hey, we're Wake Forest, man. We look in the rearview mirror, and we see everybody in the league. I mean, I know that's kind of a crazy question, but does it feel different given where you are heading into the end of October?
Honestly, no, I don't. You know, no, I don't think we came into this thing to be 7-0, but, you know, every week, you know, is every day and every rep is just a grind, you know. And, you know, we're not looking too far ahead. You know, we're going to throw the seven wins behind us. 1 week season right here, you know, just try to beat Duke. You know, we always focus on, you know, the next opponent. But, you know, it is a good feeling to be 7-0, and it's very exciting, and, you know, we're really happy, but we want more, you know. We want to, you know, change this perspective of Wake Forest football around, and, you know, I think we're on a good roll here.
Hey, I know Coach Clawson and Coach Ruggiero get in a room and start whiteboarding things to get you guys success on game day, right? I mean, I understand that. But Coach Clawson pointed out this week how valuable that your wide receivers coach, Kevin Higgins, is. Just give me one thing to build on that Coach Higgins has done to help you guys collectively become as explosive and as successful as you are this year.
You know, just Coach Higgins is a really, really special guy. You know, just you know, treating everything like a pro. You know, and whether that's, you know, weight. You know, whether that's, you know, just getting extra balls in, you know, which probably every receiver coach across the country does. But, you know, he just has this different, you know, feel and, like, vibe when you're around him, like, just to go hard, just a real guy. And, you know, I enjoy being around him. Everyone in our room, everyone in the past has enjoyed being around him. Just a really, really good guy, man. And I love being a part of the receiver room with him, sure.
That's awesome.
We had John Curry on the show last week, and he was talking about how the student body's done a great job coming out to support you guys for home games. It's a small campus. Everybody knows everybody. But does it feel different walking to class and, hey, man, that's Ja'Cory Robinson, man. The Deacs are ranked 13th in the country. I mean, he's got to kind of have a great vibe on campus going to class, and everybody's pumped up about what you guys have accomplished so far.
Yeah, I think everyone's happy for the most part. But I would say Wake Forest, you know, kind of just pretty much stay the same. I think, you know, the students want more just like we do. You know, they are definitely pumped up about us being 7-0. I enjoy them being at the games. I just enjoy the support from everybody here at Wake Forest. You know, but they were kind of, I think we're staying humble as a football team. And I think our students and our school are staying humble as well.
All right, we're going to end on this. Luke Masterson and Nick Skiba have been with us here in the last couple weeks. And there's been this shout-out to Putters as like the place you got to go get, you know, pick up some food or something. Are you on the Putters bandwagon too, just so we make sure that, you know, like Roddy Jones and I are coming to Winston-Salem this weekend to broadcast the game. I mean, do we need to hit Putters? Is that what we need to do?
Definitely. Go buy Putters. Great place, good wings, you know, good tenders. And honestly, they got whatever you want in there. You know, that's a good place to go.
That's it.
Go in there, get you some food, you know, have you a Coke, whatever it is. But make sure you hit Putters up. Gotta swing by there.
See?
Well, that's it. Right after we go to Dewey's Bakery and swallow a Moravian sugar cake hole, that's what we're going to do, Ja'Cory.
Yeah. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Yeah.
I appreciate y'all. Have a good day.
A lot of fun to visit with Ja'Cory Roberson of Wake Forest. A.T. Perry, by the way, has been added to the Biletnikoff list. How good's his year been?
Tremendous.
Halfway through the season. Oh, by the way, we need to throw this guy on there. Take some guy off, put A.T. Perry on.
You know, we didn't discuss this, but how hard was it this past week to determine who the ACC quarterback of the weekend was?
Oh.
When you look at the numbers at Armstrong was putting together.
Right.
Hartman, who won the award. Right? Crazy numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You go through the whole list. I mean, trying to give out the ACC quarterback of the week has been
nuts.
Almost impossible this year.
On the other side, we get you ready, America. We get you ready for greatness tomorrow.
That's right.
In South Bend, Indiana.
That is exactly right. Wake up. The stinking echoes, because here comes the Chariot of Champions.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
BJ Thomas was the Sun Bowl halftime guest when Georgia Tech played Utah a few years ago.
Boy. That's called plenty of good seats are still available.
Why, hear that. Why do you want to do that?
I told you. I hope it's the tougher the conditions, the better for me.
First of all, let me quickly remind you folks before we dive into the other things that tomorrow right here on ACC Network, we have the fall championship season beginning.
That's right.
10 a.m. from South Bend, Indiana.
Live.
The women's cross country 6K race begins. It'll be followed by the men's 8K cross-country race.
At 11 a.m.
Right here on ACC Network. And then Sunday, we bring you first-round action in the Women's ACC Soccer Championship from Wake Med Soccer Park over in Cary. And that begins at 6 p.m. Sunday night. And it's, as you can imagine, great soccer. Florida State, by the way, upset last weekend. So now, all of a sudden, we got great competition coming to Cary for the soccer championship. And, of course, you get the cross-country championship. Now, for those of you who may be dialing into the Packer and Durham show for the first time in a while. Tomorrow in South Bend, Indiana, my partner here will be the in the lead Chariot of Champions.
The Rabbit.
Show will be live from South Bend tomorrow. Eric McLean will be alongside Packer, noted cross-country. And there's Jim Daves from Virginia who sent us this artist rendering of what this potentially could look like.
It's going to be bigger than that, more powerful. I don't need no...
If the license plate shows up, it'd be priceless.
Well, the Packmobile will be there.
Yeah.
Guarantee you. We don't need no stinking windshield. Let it rain. I don't care. Let it rain.
Jim Phillips, Mike Bray among the guests tomorrow in South Bend, Indiana. And a quick check of
the AccuWeather forecast. No telling who I might pick up on the street either.
Well, there you go. AccuWeather forecast for the South Bend, Goshen, LaPorte, Mishawaka.
Bring it.
Michigan City.
A Mother Nature.
Area.
Bring it. Give me the best you got.
Is this like the British Open? You want it raining sideways? Oh, here it is. AccuWeather forecast.
Told you. What's the high tomorrow? 55? Low 48. Chance of rain 100%. Beautiful. Love it. Hey, I told you, a trained monkey can do an event from San Diego when the weather's perfect. Put us in the elements. Bring it. I'm ready. It's time to do it. Give me the keys. Let's go.
Intermittent showers for Packer and Durham tomorrow.
I hope
with
it
Mark
pours.
Packer and Eric McLean.
I hope it pours.
From South Bend, Indiana.
Let it rain.
Some folks are already contributing to Packer's training, if you will.
Training.
Let's welcome Joseph Drosky with this tweet. Mark Packer, this was my son as the lead card at a cross-country meet.
Oh,
we can get you a blanket, can't we?
I don't need the pink blanket. I will be dressed accordingly tomorrow, wearing the brand.
The wetsuit?
I'll have it. I'll be good
the
to
brand?
Go tomorrow.
What brand is that?
The Packer and Durham brand.
The Packer and Durham
moron
brand.
Is our show. Okay. What do you think what brand is going
to Well, you just check it.
What do you think I'm going to wear?
Commissioner will be there with you.
Commissioner.
He got some brand,
he's
too.
The man.
Is he getting any brand?
Well, he's going to sit front row if he's in the mood.
Okay.
He runs the show,
yeah,
you know.
That's right.
He started all this. Well, actually, I started it. He confirmed it.
Yeah, yeah. So, there we are.
I've studied
Joseph
the course.
Joseph Drosky. Thank you, Mr. Drosky, for submitting that.
Studied the course. It's not difficult. Got it. I hope it's sloppy conditions, though. Sloppy conditions and big tires. It's the key. Big, big, wide tires. I've not seen the vehicle yet. Have not.
This all began, by the way,
on this show.
A little over a year ago when you proclaimed that you wanted to do this.
We ran video footage of the cross country championships.
That is correct.
And I saw the golf cart at the time, dune buggy going whatever, all over the place, had flags on it, had a camera guy holding on for dear life. And I said to you, Wes, that's what we should be doing. I want to drive the cart at the cross country.
Right.
John Swofford was still the commissioner at the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how the whole thing got started on the air. And it just kind of morphed into what's getting ready to unveil itself tomorrow. Great idea.
And this falls in line with a lot of things that Packer and I, since Mark and I started working together, he's proclaimed that things would happen. I have doubted all of them, and they've all happened.
And they've all happened. Making stuff happen.
The old ACC Central radio show from Sirius XM. Coach K's office. Let's do it in Coach K's office. There's no the not, day not, of the Carolina Duke
yeah,
game.
Not just from his office. The day of the Duke Carolina
right,
game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's no way that
there's no
happen.
Way that'll happen.
I'll watch this.
We did it. We even took Bojangles to Coach K.
Right. And Krzyzewskiville.
And
we brought it for
yeah,
hundreds.
We did. Yeah, we did. Flying the blimp indoors at the Greensboro Coliseum complex at the women's tournament.
I told you I was gonna do it.
Didn't believe that either. Within the hour, he was flying the blimp.
That's right. Nobody got hurt.
Cross-country chariot driver.
Chariot of Champions. Get it right.
Got it.
Chariot of Champions.
Godspeed.
Tomorrow, we are – hey, you understand something. Notre Dame's men's program is number 8 in the country. NC State's women's program, number 2 in the country.
Yeah, I know.
We got great individual runners.
Yeah.
Bad conditions. You'll find out who can really come to the top.
That's
tomorrow.
It.
That's what we're doing.
Thanks to everybody who helped us along the way today. Certainly want to thank Mike Tirico for joining us.
See
who
him
knows
tomorrow.
He might show up tomorrow.
I hope so.
Mark Herzlick, Tim Hasselbeck, and, of course, our visit with Jacori Roberson. Drew Brooks, Josh Macri, Chrissy Velez, Rich, Rachel, Matt, Hank, the Bunkers, everybody involved there.
Otto in the Christmas room.
Mikey C today on loan from Marty and McGee. Yeah. Good to see him. Appreciate his help. We will see you, in my case, Monday. Tomorrow morning, live from South Bend, Mark Packer, Eric McLean, and the Chariot of Champions.
That's it.
Holy smokes.
Get ready, South Bend, Indiana.
God,
here we come.
Godspeed, the Atlantic Coast Conference. See you Monday and tomorrow from South Bend.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.